Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the LIC's 9M FY23 earnings conference call. We have senior management of LIC led by Shri M.R. Kumar, Chairperson on this call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. M.R. Kumar, Chairperson, LIC. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good morning, everyone. I am M.R. Kumar, Chairperson, LIC. On behalf of the senior management team, I warmly welcome all of you to the results and performance update call of Life Insurance Corporation of India for the third quarter and nine-month period ending December 31st, 2022. The results and the presentation can be accessed on our website and on websites of both the stock exchanges of BSE and NSE. Along with me, I have three managing directors, Mr. Siddharth Mohanty, Madam Mini Ike, and Mr. B.C. Patnaik, who's on the call. Senior officials of the corporation present on this call are Mr. Dinesh Pant, appointed actuary and executive director, Mr. K.R. Ashok, executive director heading the actuarial team, Mr. Sunil Agrawal, CFO, Mr. P.R. Mishra, executive director, investment front office and chief investment officer, and Mr. R.K. Jha, executive director, investment back office, and Mr. Aditya Gupta, executive director, corporate communications. Mr. R. Sudhakar, executive director, marketing for the marketing team. Ms. Rachna Khare, executive director, CRM policy servicing. Mr. Tirunagaracharya, executive director, CRM claims from the CRM team. Madam Manju Bagga, executive director, pension and group schemes, and Mr. Sanjay Bajaj, head investor relations. Before I start to provide an overview and detailed highlights of our performance for the nine months ended December 31st, 2022, I would like to briefly touch upon two issues which may be on top of the mind for some of you. That is, one is LIC's Adani Group exposure and the impact on LIC due to the proposed budgetary changes in taxation of a category of maturity claims for life insurance policies in cases where premium paid is more than rupees 5 lakhs per annum. You will appreciate that while both these topics are pertaining to a time period outside the nine-month period ended December 31st quarter for which we have gathered here today, still we will mention our position and views upfront before starting the results explanation. First, on the Adani Group exposure, we have already provided many details on our investments in a press release on January 30th, 2023. Hope all of you have seen the same. I reiterate that our total exposure to Adani Group on a book value basis is less than 1% of our total AUM at book value as at December 31st, 2022. Second is that, as we have mentioned in some media interactions post-budget, that the impact on us is minimal of the recent budgetary announcements on tax treatment of certain category of life insurance maturity claims in case of customers paying more than rupees 5 lakhs per annum. As you will appreciate, we are a very different and unique business, both by average ticket sizes, which are on the lower side, and by product category sales weightings. Now, moving to the key business, operational, and financial highlights for the first nine months of the financial year 2022-23. For the nine months ended December 31st, 2022, we have reported a total premium income of INR 342,244 crore, showing a growth of 20.65% over the total premium income of INR 283,673 crore for the corresponding nine-month period of last year ending December 31st, 2021. The individual new business premium income for the nine-month FY23 is INR 38,828 crore, and for comparable nine-month FY22, it was INR 35,910 crore. Renewal premium income individual business for nine-month FY23 is INR 161,601 crore as compared to INR 153,312 crore for nine-month FY22. The group business premium income for nine-month FY23 is INR 141,815 crore as compared to INR 94,452 crore for the corresponding period of last year. Our market share by first year premium income is 65.38% as per IRDAI for the 9 month period ended December 31st, 2022, as compared to 61.4% for the similar 9 month period ended December 31st, 2021. I am sure the market participants would have also noted that within these 9 months of current year, we have recorded a high of 68.25% market share during the 6 month period ended September 30th, 2022. If we were to split the total premium for 9 months FY23 by individual and group business, it would translate to INR 2,429 crore for individual business and INR 1,41,815 crore for group business. Therefore, we have a market share of 40.93% in individual business and 78.65% in the group business for the 9 months ending December 31st, 2022. On a comparable basis, for the 9 months ended December 31st, 2021, the respective market shares for individual and group business were 44.44% and 73.78%. Therefore, we continue to retain the largest share on a total premium basis in both individual as well as group segments. Seen on APE basis, the breakup of business is as follows. Total annualized premium equivalent, that is APE, for 9 months ended December 31st, 2022 is INR 37,545 crore, which is comprised of individual APE of INR 23,419 crore and group APE of INR 14,126 crore. Therefore, on APE basis, the individual business accounts for 62.38% and group business accounts for 37.62%. Further, on the individual APE, the PAR business accounts for INR 21,206 crore and non-PAR amounts to INR 2,213 crore. As you can see, our non-PAR share of individual APE is 9.45% and PAR is 90.55% for the 9 months FY23. You will recall that our non-PAR share for year ended March 31, 2022 on APE basis within the overall individual business was 7.12% and was 7.76% for quarter ended 30th June 22 and was 8.98% for 6 month period ended September 30th, 2022. So you will agree that we are gradually and consistently changing the product mix over the last three quarters, wherein the non-PAR share within the individual business is rising steadily. Within non-PAR individual segment, basis dynamic customer demand and our sales processes, the product category contributions to volume of overall business may vary, and in our business presentation post results, we do provide the NBP breakup within the non-PAR product categories. Coming to the profit after tax PAT for the 9 months ended 31st December 2022 was INR 22,970 crore as against INR 1,672 crore for the 9 months ended December 31st, 2021. At this point, I would like to mention that the current period profit has increased due to transfer of an amount of INR 19,941.6 crore net of tax pertaining to the accretions on the available solvency margin from non-PAR to shareholders account. The amount of INR 19,941.6 crore comprises of INR 5669.79 crore for the quarter ended December 31, 2022, besides INR 5580.72 crore, INR 4148.78 crore, and INR 4542.31 crore for the preceding three quarters respectively. Gross value of new business, VNB, is INR 7187 crore and net VNB is INR 5478 crore for the 9 months ended December 31, 2022. Further, the net VNB margin for the 9 months FY23 is 14.6%. as compared to the same 14.6% for the half year ended September 30th, 2022 and 13.6% for the first quarter of FY23 and 15.1% for the full year ended March 31, 2022. Assets under management as of 31st December 2022 grew by 10.54% year-on-year to INR 44,34,940 crore as compared to INR 40,12,172 crore as on December 31st, 2021. I would like to inform you about the new product launches. In line with our strategy of increasing the proportion of non-par business, we launched 6 new non-par products during the first 9 months of FY 2022-23 to cater to customer requirements, namely LIC's Bima Ratna, Dhan Sanchay, New Pension Plus, Dhan Varsha, New Tech Term and New Jeevan Amar respectively. During the 9 months ended December 31, 2022, we sold 1,28,90,843 new policies as compared to 1,26,48,184 policies in the 9 months ended December 31, 2021, registering a growth of 1.92% over the corresponding period of last year. As on 31st December, the total number of agents was 13,22,586 as compared to 13,26,432 as at 31st March 22 and 13,34,811 as at 30th September 2020. The market share by number of agents as on December 31st, 2022 stands at 52.3% as against 54.98% for December 31st, 2021 when we had 13,29,448 agents. On number of policies sold basis, the agency force sold 1,24,12,134 policies during the 9 months ended 31st December 22 as compared to 1,19,14,093 policies during the corresponding period of last year, registering an increase of 4.18%. Therefore, you can see that more than 96% of our policies for the first 9 months of FY23 were sold by agency force. Even on premium basis, a little above 96% of new business premium came from our agency channel for the 9 months FY23. During the same period, the other channels, as the banca and alternate channels, contributed to 1.88% by number of policies and 3.5% by new business premium. And for the 9 months ended 31st December 2021, the banca and alternate channels had contributed 1.56% by policies and 2.56% by NB premium. Therefore, this you can see that this channel is growing and started to increase its share in both policies and premium within the overall individual business. We are implementing multiple strategies to achieve larger scale in these channels. Our management expense ratio stands at 15.26% for the 9 months ended 31st December 22 as compared to 14.99% for the same period of last year. The increase is 27 bps on year-to-year basis. On premium basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month for the 9 months FY23 stands at 77.61, 71.32, 68.31, 64.7 and 62.73 as compared to 76.84, 71.7, 67.84, 64.97 and 61.91% for the 9 months of FY22. Similarly, on the number of policies basis, the persistency for those periods for 13, 25, 37, 49, 61 months for current FY23 for 9 months stands at 64.99, 59.06, 55.32, 52.45 and 51.42 respectively as compared to 65.47, 59, 55.6, 53.67 and 50.85 respectively for FY22 9 months. Operational efficiency and digital progress. We continue to focus on making our process efficient. As you are aware that on the previous call on November 14th, I had mentioned to you about our print to post initiative. I'm happy to report an update that we have completed dispatching of 1.66 crore policies to policyholders since Jan 2022 till 31st December 2022 using this initiative. In our digital initiative through the agent assisted Ananda app, we have completed 5,31,792 policies using this app during the entire months, 9 months ended 31st December 2022 as compared to 210,140 policies for the comparable period ended December 31, 2021, thereby registering a growth of 153% on YOY basis. For some of you who are customers of LIC would have noticed that we are now also on WhatsApp. Starting December 2022, we launched many services of LIC via WhatsApp, and the response has been encouraging for us. We are working to bring tech-based ease into our customer interface. On the claims front, during 9 months FY23, we have processed 1,40,94,679 number of claims, which include 1,34,28,706 maturity claims. On an amount basis, during 9 months FY23, maturity claims were INR 1,13,936 crore, and the death claims were INR 17,350 crore. On a comparable basis for 9 months FY22, the maturity claims were INR 123,170 crore, and death claims were INR 29,271 crore. Therefore, the death claims are lower by 40.73%, and the maturity claims are lower by 7.5% on a year-on-year basis. I would like to tell you that our feet-on-street approach to business is intact. While we develop the alternate channels such as Banca and the digital footprint, we have a committed and trained workforce of over 1 lakh as of December 31st, 2022, out of which 95% are in branch and division offices, enabling them to be in close proximity to our customers, reinforcing our feet-on-street approach. In summary, I would like to say that we continue to remain focused on creating a portfolio mix to optimize value for all stakeholders. In that context, we have increased the proportional share of non-par business within our individual business, as mentioned earlier. Further, I would say that the relative growth of various products within the non-par bucket will vary with each quarter, and we are well aware of this. Finally, we like to keep customer requirement foremost in our sales process. Looking at the market growth, I think we have a robust market ahead for insurance in India, and all forces shall join hands to make insurance accessible to all in the coming years. Thank you very much, and we are now happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Avinash from NK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good morning, sir. Couple of questions. The first one is, your assumption changes impact on VNB margin. That's positive. Is it largely the interest rate changes, or is there something else as well? So that is the first one. Second one, if you can just explain the net impact of, the tax related thing on your accounting tax, because if I see there are two kind of tax, one of course there is some kind of a tax calculation led reversal in policyholder account, and also the other one is that you have got some kind of some 6,000 odd crore refund on interest on a refund of income tax. So how much net is that gone to your tax, both these impacts? And thirdly, if you can help me, I saw your media statement saying 0.12% of policies above 5 lakhs. So is it the count of policy you are talking, or premium or APE you are talking? Thank you. Three questions.
Good morning. Regarding the VNB margin, we have disclosed in the VNB margin walk, there are two impacts on the margin walk compared to the numbers we see for March. One is the change in business mix. That change in business mix has an impact of bringing down the margin by 120 bps. And then there is a second one which we have shown it as change in margins. The major impact on that is from the movement of RFR.
Yes, sir. So this assumption change, what are the assumption changes? Is it largely the interest rate movement or something else?
Yeah, it is largely interest rate movement, market interest rate movement.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, good morning. This is Sunil Agarwal, CFO. On the second query on the tax related reversal, I would like to tell you that both the impacts are largely on the participating segment of the business, so they will not impact the profitability of the corporations. They were done on account of basically earlier we were following the practice of provisioning for tax on a advance tax basis. How we have done on a segment on a interim financial reporting basis. Therefore, the corrections for the previous quarters have happened, and therefore the reversal in the current quarter has happened. If you look at from an annualized thing, it will not impact the overall scheme of things. In the current quarter, it is reversal because the adjustment for the previous two quarters have also been taken place in this quarter. But it is largely in the par cut, so there is no impact on the profitability. On a second question on the interest on refund, the amount is 6,626 crore, which again was paid out of the par fund because this refund pertains to the earlier years, where we had unified fund only and there was no fund segregation. So because the tax was at that point of time paid out of the participating fund, therefore the receipts have also been accounted for in the participating fund. And again, that has not impacted the overall profitability of the corporation. Thank you.
Yes, sir. This was actually, yes, sir. If you say par fund, it's going to be almost neutral. Yes, sir. And the third one that, higher than 5 lakh, you said in media, I think I read 0.12%. Is it the policy count or is it the premium?
It is on the policy count.
That's on premium or like new premium, what would be the number?
On AP, it is 1.85.
Okay, sir. Okay. And sir, just quickly, if you can allow me, do you see the, if at all, I mean, next year or maybe year after next, with the entire individual moves to the new tax regime where you have kind of exemption-less world, will that impact your business, particularly given that you are a lot into low-ticket granular businesses where, ADC-related exemptions could be one of the incentives?
I would put it this way. The number of customers which LIC has is almost 20 crore, whereas the taxpayers are 6 crore and only a portion of the taxpayers would be basically benefiting out of the tax benefits as of now. So I feel that there's a lot of scope because already the percentage of people who are not covered with insurance as well as those who are covered who are not having adequate risk cover. There's a lot of scope within that space. And LIC being one company which has been selling policies in a couple of crores every year. So there is a lot of scope and we feel that we will be able to overcome any impact on that within 1 year without much of an issue.
Avinash, does this answer your question?
No. My question already answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one question around the individual non-par margin. You earlier talked about the change in the product pricing, which has affected the margin, but this quarter again, there has been a very sharp decline. So if you can talk about as to how are we seeing this and where do you expect it to settle? And maybe I'll ask the second question later, sir. So if you can answer this first.
Yeah, if you look at the margin and vis-a-vis the non-par growth, it's true that non-par business have grown. But within the non-par, there are different segments of business that has different margin signatures. And our ULIP business have grown more in the non-par. And their margins are lower than the averages, thus bringing keeping the margins at the same level.
Okay. And, sir, within the annuity business now, if you can, like, share some color as to what will be the average ticket size and what will be the mix of government and private sector professionals?
Average ticket size in annuity is around 8.9 lakhs per policy. What was second part?
Second was government and mix.
Private sector employees have taken annuity.
No profile of annuity.
Profile of annuity.
You may not be having that.
Yeah, we don't have that right now, but we can share it with you later.
Okay, sure, sir. The other question I have is around the agent count. Like, agent count has been flat over 9 months, and this is a prime distribution channel. How are we looking at this? Because private sectors have, like, really been ramping up their agency channels.
In our agency channel, we have a constant method of recruiting agents, and every year we recruit approximately more than 2 lakh agents. It is indeed a fact that there are many people who also drop out by way of either getting a new job or moving on to other type of businesses. This is a market, I would say, it keeps happening like that in the insurance agency market. And what we have seen is that during certain months, there is a slight decline, but it will be made up also, and that addition has been already been done currently. So we are saying that we will be ending the year without agency force.
Right. And so lastly, on the banca channel, the mix has been improving YOY. And so if you can share more color as to which banks are you seeing the most attraction with, and how do you see this evolving in the next 2 years?
So now it is IDBI, which is giving us maximum volume in banca. We are also looking at augmenting the the number of persons who are serving in that particular channel. And we are seeing good traction happening there. So we are seeing a positive growth on banca even in the coming year.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. Just the first one on quarterly AP or NBP development, right? So we have seen a slowdown in growth. I know maybe last year, quarter ago, that was disclosed during the RHP timeframe may not be like for like. So, but just want to understand why there has been a sequential slowdown in Q3 versus Q2 on a YOY basis. Maybe I'm not comparing right, but that's the first question I had.
Year on year for Q3 is the question he's asking. Let me respond. I'm Kumar here. I don't think that we are very much worried about this. This is basically, Mr. Sudhakar was explaining, some churning in the agency forces happened. We have new products, almost 16 products in non-par. We are getting people to get trained on all these products. That part is taking a little bit of time. So this could be one reason. It's people have been active in the market. So the more agents who get trained on all these products and they start working, now we've seen a good traction the last couple of months. So I think going forward, February and March, all these agents, like Mr. Sudhakar said, will be back on the streets with a renewed vigor, with all this new inputs on the new products. And I think we should be able to overcome whatever that slowdown was there.
Actually, on Q3 basis, from between, September to December, in the individual business, the premium has increased from around 30,997 to 40,296. It's a growth of about 5.2%. Largely because if you would have been seeing in the terms of AP, it is largely because the PNGS is a group business, the last Q3 has been less. So that has impacted, and something more to do also with annuity growth in this particular quarter. We already, revised the rates, and that will be more than covered possibly in this Q4.
Sir, so you're saying group business, there is seasonality, and if you were to look at individual, maybe there is growth, even on a sequential basis.
Yes. Group has done tremendously well in overall basis. So certain, changes over from quarter to quarter can always be expected because the cash flow timings can vary depending upon the corporates, plan of actions and all those things. But group has overall done very well, if you consider the 9-month period.
Sir, just some clarity around group, if you could split into what are the key constituents. I know we give disclosure on NBP, but you know, if you could disaggregate what is the savings component, if there is any protection or credit life, that will be helpful. I don't know whether you can do it now, but I'm just saying maybe as a request.
See, if we just want to see in AP terms for the group, you know, total AP for the 9 month period is something around 14,126. And, you know, all the savings schemes, including annuities, right, and fund-based business, gratuity schemes, superannuation schemes in particular, they have been the large contributors here.
So credit life will be very small, you think? Credit life, group term.
Group term is not very small, but yes, the saving portion in the group is significant here.
Got it, sir. My last question is just on margins again. So I think the previous participant asked this as well. So ULIP has been growing faster, and that's the reason why we have non-par. I'm just using the cumulative disclosure you say on gross margins. From 104% has come down to, I think, 73.5% when I calculate it for the nine-month period now. So is there, other than ULIP, mix change? Is there anything else in terms of repricing your non-par on the saving side that has also led to this?
See, in fact, you would have seen that already, that the growth rate in ULIP, it's not that the growth in non-par saving is less. Actually, it is significantly high, 77% or so. ULIP has grown more, and we all know ULIP VNB margins are less. So, and recently some more products have been launched also, other than ULIP. So there it will take, and plus also because annuity rates have been revised. So anytime when the revision in annuity rate, you have to do it in terms for the purpose of competitive reasons. Whenever that would be done, VNB margins will come down. What we as a corporation, as an insurer, would have to look into, what is, you know, first step is to look towards VNB. So striking right balance of VNB margins and the growth in AP, so that the VNB in terms of, you know, the ultimate volume should result into, you know, the should go in the required direction. So anytime when the revisions in annuity rates would happen, but on the other side, for example, in term products, we have increased the rates also. So there we would have tried to capture the, in fact, you know, arrest, in fact, get the VNB margins going the right direction. So this portfolio balancing is a continuous process. Yes, sir.
Would you say the larger impact is for this annuity rate increase, or it's still the ULIP increase in mix?
No, it is more mainly because the ULIP growing more than, you know, the non-par saving. Actually, as a contribution to the overall portfolio, ULIP's contribution has gone from, say, 1% to almost 2%. And then ULIP margins are less. But that's very much because, see, we should always take note of the fact that in ULIP, LIC's contribution, whatever the industry is, very small. So without prejudice to the whatever happens to the margin, we have a reason to keep on growing in ULIP also, because customer need-based selling and all those, you know, covering the entire, all the baskets of the products segments have to be taken care of. So ULIP has to continue to grow. ULIP will bring down margins slightly, which will be taken care of from, you know, other segments like annuity and non-par saving.
All right, so if I may, last question, slide 8. If you could talk about the two new, you know, products that we launched in, say, November or even October, Dhanvarsha, how has been the take-up, any numbers, what's been exciting? So, thank you.
Actually, Dhanvarsha has been doing quite well. And we expect, you know, a lot of business to come that because that product is available for sale in this quarter, so up to Q4 only. Mm. It's a very well-balanced and good return. As well as, you know, it covers a large segment of the society from very young age, nascent age, to 50 years or so. So we expect a lot of, you know, good performance in this particular product in the past quarter.
So the ticket size of Dhanvarsha is around 2,60,000, and it is also a close end scheme, which is
31st March.
So we are expecting those numbers to go up.
So what's the rate, sir, indicative?
Rate means?
Return.
Return, yeah.
I see. Typically, in certain ages, the return can be 6 plus also. It would change from, you know, for younger ages, generally, the returns would be higher. Depending the duration and the age, the returns will be different. But at certain places, it can be plus 6 also.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepika Mundra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, can you tell us broadly across the individual business what percentage of policies would be coming in the 80C category for your customers? So how many, would you have any sense on that?
We don't have that figure right now, ma'am, so we can share it with you, but very minuscule. That's all I can say.
Okay. And just to one more question, on the Adani Group exposure on the equity side, could you split it up between the PAR, non-PAR, as well as shareholders fund?
I don't think we'll be able to disclose that as of now, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Just a few questions from my side. First is, you know, on the individual annuities, if you can kind of give some color on how much of compression in the margins is left incrementally in 4Q. And I understand you recalibrate your strategy, but in terms of what incremental repricing has happened in 4Q and what can be the drag on margins going ahead. Second, there seems to be some decline in group VNB margins between 1H and 3Q. Is it just because of the mix between savings and superannuation and gratuity and some of those things within the group, or is there something else on the pricing side also? Lastly, you mentioned on your strategies in the bank and alternate channels. So just wanted to get some color on whether there are some discussions on incremental partners. And especially within the PSU pack, is there any captive player that has been discussing anything on incremental tie-up? And okay, so just one more question. If you can give some color on the qualitative aspects on the margins between the non-PAR savings business and the individual annuities business in terms of margin, which one would be higher or lower, and anything on the delta between the two?
Looking at the annuity portfolio, the annuity portfolio was repriced in August 22, and to make it more competitive. And since the returns to policyholder and the profitability are to be balanced, there is indeed a reduction in the margin in the annuity portfolio. That you have been witnessing when we disclose the annuity for non-PAR businesses. The reduction is within what we have estimated, and we are comfortable with the amount of reduction that is happening. Because still annuity PARs at the margins are at a very high level compared to the other businesses. Coming to the group margins, within the group, we have different lines of business, different lines, like we have funded schemes, we have protection and annuities, and these have different signatures of margins, where once again, the group annuities are also having comfortable margins compared to the other portfolio. So the variations we notice is because of within the group, there has been some changes in the business mix that has resulted in the changes that you have noticed.
I think on the banker channel, now that the tie-ups can be this nine banks instead of three earlier, there is a lot of scope because a basket of new banks have come into the horizon as far as LIC is concerned. We are exploring different tie-ups both at the banker level and also at the fintech level also. And we see a lot of growth on that, and that's why I said earlier also that we are adding more manpower to that particular channel.
Yes, sir. Can I ask one follow-up?
Sure, please go ahead.
Yeah. So one is, you know, on this entire non-par business, and you mentioned that the individual annuity margins are quite comfortable and within range, and the repricing was in August. So just wanted to understand, has there been any other round of repricing? If I heard correctly, there was one more round of repricing during the quarter. So will that have any impact? And second is, what will be the, you know, in terms of relatively within the business, what will be the margins of individual annuities versus the core non-par regular pay products?
Yes, we recently had a revision in our deferred annuity rates. But that is well within the our, you know, what I would call as VNB margin appetite or VNB appetite, because you would have seen most of the insurers have also done it. But selectively, we are not done in particular segment. We are done in a particular product of annuity where we thought there is a lot of scope for, you know, growth and needs of the customers are there. So it has been done. But that we are not expecting to have any significant adverse impact on the VNB margin. It will have, but what our strategy is that the growth in AP there will more than make up for the, you know, VNB. So the ultimate idea for sacrifice or reduction in VNB margin would only happen when we see the potential for AP growth to, you know, compensate or actually overcompensate for that thing. Because ultimately, beyond VNB margin, as a corporate, we are looking towards actually, as I said earlier also, total VNB trajectory to be achieved.
Sure, and some color on the margins between the core regular pay non-par products and annuities, which one would be higher, and any color on the.
Typically, you would know that as we said, suppose our VNB margin is 14.6, which is in public domain, and we understand that if 92% business in individual is coming for participating, right? And in participating, the profit sharing is around, just 10%. In non-participating, 100%. So one can, extrapolate from there. We would not like to comment upon, specific margin at this point of time, because these margins can change from time to time, depending upon, suppose the revision benefits take place, depending upon, in fact, also the interest rate scenarios, the RFR rate change, right, all those things change. We are sure, but one thing is important to see that, annuity is a very important component for overall non-par business as a driver for VNB, as a VNB margin also. And we are continuously, working on that. And also single-pay is important in that context.
One follow-up on one of the questions asked by a previous participant. I understand you don't intend to break up the Adani exposure between your par, non-par and other funds. But could you give some color on where the bulk of this would be sitting, just qualitatively? Would you want to give?
We can only say in this context is that it does not have significant impact on the shareholder value. And our policyholders are well protected. You can rest assured on that.
Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Goda from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand your banca strategy in future. So are we looking to hire new set of development officers to exclusively manage banca channel, or existing agency divisional officers will drive the banca channel? And I also wanted to understand whether to approach to the banca will change with the change in EOM rules, because now there is nothing called commission. So to remain competitive versus the private players in the banca channel, whether the commission could go up to drive high margin products like non-par in the banca. Just wanted to understand the low hanging fruit which is available to you, how you want to exploit the growth by adding manpower and maybe playing with the commissions around it.
One thing is that when we said manpower, it does not mean that it is a development also in that sense. It is the officers in that sense, and we are also going to add technology. Already, the policies are being completed with various banks through a paperless method also. We have what is known as an Ananda app, which enables the whole process of proposal to policy to happen paperless, data being given, KYC being done, and the policy number being issued and the policy being dispatched to the customer, as well as getting a PDF copy of the policy on his mobile. So different methods are being explored by us. As the other part is where we require more people to be interacting with the banks. So that is where we said more officers will be added in due course.
So let me also add, Kumar here, that the basic thinking around this is that how do we create ease of doing business for the bankers? How can we help them so that they do not have to use their own resources to sell insurance to the customers? So around that, that's what Sudhakar mentioned. That using technology, how can we help them to, you know, grow the business is what we are working on.
But sir, just extending on this point. So just wanted to know how many people are deployed across the banker relationships we have and how much we want to increase. So that because we all know for the fact that despite technology, it's people on the branches which drives the growth. So just trying to understand how do you want to redeploy or deploy people around the channel to get the maximum out of it.
All that I can share with you right now is that, you know, last year we tried out an experiment on trying to look at some of the bigger branches of the banks where we have, maybe they have their own structure where they have more HNI clients and things like that. So we are working to find out whether we can focus on what we call some of these, we call them power outlets, and whether we can work closely with those power outlets. So to that extent, the manpower ramping up in terms of offices, like Sudhakar said, would be utilized to ramp up the business in these power outlets. And going forward, we'll try to expand that to the other branches.
Yeah, okay, got it, sir. And the second question which I had was on the likelihood of composite license coming through. Your status strategy on how you will approach the health insurance business if it goes through. And given we all know that it's your agency which is being used by the general insurance industry to drive the health insurance growth for themselves, how we want to do it, and also I want to understand with the extent of management rules again, whether if you have any thoughts, how you will drive or how you will make sure that your own agents will come back to LIC and sell health insurance for you.
No, we are quite excited about the prospect of selling health liability insurance. And you may recall that we have done it in the past as well. The regulator had allowed the life insurers to sell liability insurance, and it was withdrawn. So if it comes back, we'll be only too happy to, you know, get back to that space, and as you rightly said, to involve our agents who are selling these kind of products for other companies. I'm sure they'll come back to sell our products as well.
Okay, sir. Given we have revised our term insurance rates on the higher side, I think when we were in the previous regime, when there was no segregation of funds, our dependence on the reinsurance was very limited. So now with the segregation of the funds, have we increased our exposures or we have started reinsuring more to drive the individual protection business or any protection business? That's the question I had. And second, in absolute rupees crores, if you can tell in 9 months, how much individual protection APE, credit life and GTL you have done?
Reinsurance,
you think? As far as reinsurance goes, LIC's, you know, reinsurance outflow is very small. It just, you know, used to be around less than 0.1% of the total premium. It's just around 0.14% of the total premium at this point of time.
Yeah.
Of course, yes, but when we have, you know, worked upon these specific products like, you know, term product, protection product, or whenever we have come out with health base or critical riders, which has specialized morbidity base or specific mortality risk being involved. We have taken special care and we have tried to insure a larger portion of it. We all are aware in the recent times there have been challenges around reinsurance support. We have been trying to discuss the opportunities with our insurers also. One of the larger reasons for us to increase the rate was also driven by reinsurance revision rates, which anyways has happened for other insurers.
Right.
They had done 2-3 times before us already. So it was in line to protect the VNB margins and to be aligned with the claim experience in that context. Unfortunately, last 2 years were, you know, very special in the regard because, you know, it was dominated by COVID-related, you know, issues also. As we go forward, we expect, you know, the claim outgoes to settle down to more, you know, Chennai levels. And then I think the interest of the reinsurers will possibly also come back. And then we can drive towards, you know, growth in this protection business.
Got it, sir. But if you can share the absolute rupees crores for 9 months, individual protection, credit life and GTL, in AP terms would be useful, sir.
Credit life is not there in individual business. Credit life currently, you know, is being offered to PNGs, and there's a very, very small portion there. Okay. And unfortunately, on the credit life, you know, we have worked a lot on this side, but as of now, we are still awaiting, you know, reinsurer support there. So that is something is there. And production business as of now is, by volume, is not a big, you know, contributor to the overall AP. So that's an area where the corporation is really working.
Got it, sir. And finally, on insurance repository, because it gives a lot of information on data, are we are planning to do it in-house, or are we intend to outsource it to insurance repository companies like CDSL, CAMS, MSDL, or Carvi, which are the four registered insurance repositories? Any thoughts there, sir?
We are working, I mean, to find out whether we can try with one or multiple of them. So that work is in progress. As of now, I can't share anything more than that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajok Frederick from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is more on an industry trend perspective. Given, hello?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Given the, given the current regulations, the industry could shift towards more rural and more low ticket size. I'm talking about the private sector. Both of these are your forte. So with that background, where do you see new avenues of growth?
Okay, I think even the rural and other markets, like Sudhakar sometime back mentioned, that there's a lot of potential still left. It's not that as if it's over. We have our penetration is pretty low, I mean, you know that. So whether it is metro, tier 1, tier 2, or the rural markets, and there is enough potential to grow insurance business. So we continue to be strong on, we will continue to be strong on the tier 2, tier 3 and the rural markets. But we are picking up some speed in the metros as well now with the focus on non-par and the single premium annuities and all those products. So I don't see any challenge. Of course, it's quite obvious that the private sector will try to move into the smaller markets. But we are quite strong there already. So we don't see any challenge.
And sir, again, a broader question, since we have over 20 crore customers, I'm just trying to understand the target market, because I assume that it was more to do with incremental ticket size rather than the incremental number of policies here on or in the medium term, let's say 2-3 years on the line. But do you see a incremental number of policies also going forward? Let's take a 5-year view, and from where we are right now, a rough estimate of the policies growth, that will be helpful.
I do see a growth in numbers, because numbers have to grow if you have to increase the penetration and the coverage across the Indian population. But it will be very difficult to estimate.
Yeah.
That is difficult.
Sure. Sir, the other angle is on the agent productivity. You have been having the best of the agents out there, and I'm assuming they're selling over 15 policies per year. Is there scope for increasing productivity there, or are you taking any further steps can probably increase? I know it's a tough ask, but still.
Yes, we are on that task, and the already productivity as compared to the previous year has improved a bit. But we are definitely looking to increase the number of policies which are being sold, and we will be moving into that area much more. So we expect that productivity to go up significantly in the coming maybe 5 years. We are tinkering with our products, the type of products which can be sold easily, ease of sale as well as the IT support for that. So we are expecting that the number of policy target also will be reworked according to the new changes that have come up in the budget. So,
and another important thing here is that, you know, LIC, we have been very much focused on participating business for long, and there was a little bit of saturation of our growth productivity there. Now, with the addition of this non-participating productivity, you know, for the there can be an exponential growth because agents get additional products, additional markets can be explored. So this paves the way for, you know, tremendous growth opportunities in productivity of agents and all the marketing channels.
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of Madhukar Lada from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. So most of my questions have been answered. I just wanted to understand one thing. If the new draft regulations are sort of put in force, are adopted, then how comfortable are we with the EOM limits? So some numbers in terms of, you know, the limits would be X percentage and we in those limits would fall at Y would be helpful. So can you help me with that?
As far as you mentioned about new draft regulations, we are aware there are different draft regulations at this point of time. The larger focus is to improve the ease of business, go towards principle-based, you know, regulations, and, enhance the market penetration and density. These are larger product principles around which all the regulations have been there. Also looking towards, you know, empowering the boards of the insurance companies for better self-governance practices to be adopted. Yes, this expense of management regulations have been there. They've been brought in. That also is in the same direction. We have done our preliminary estimates. Based on that, actually, the situation will only improve for us, you know, from where we have been operating at, you know, around 84 to 85, 86% of our allowed expense limits. Under this new provisions, a situation will improve from here. So it is going to be more, you know, within limits sort of situation. And this, the aim of the regulation is also to allow insurance companies to decide how they want to, you know, apportion the expenses towards which segment. So it's more enabling sort of provisions out here.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. M.R. Kumar, Chairperson, LIC, for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for all those who joined, and I hope we could answer all your questions. And I probably some of you couldn't ask the questions. I'm sorry about that. There's a long queue, but maybe next time. But thanks once again for being part of the call. All the best to all of you too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of LIC, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, sir.